The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 27th, 2008, in Radhadesh, Belgium.
So we are blessed once again by the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, with another opportunity to dive even deeper into this nectarian ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, this fourth canto, chapter 19, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Charame Nashvame Dhena. Yajamane Yajushpatim. Vainye Yagya Pushung Spardhan. Apovahati Rohita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Prithu Maharaj was performing the last horse sacrifice, Ashvamedha Yajna, King Indra, invisible to everyone, stole the horse intended for sacrifice. He did this because of his great envy of King Prithu. Purport. King Indra is known as Shata Kratu, which indicates that he has performed 100 horse sacrifices, Ashvamedha Yajna. We should know, however, that the animals sacrificed in the Yajna were not killed. If the Vedic mantras were performed, were properly pronounced during the sacrifice, the animal sacrificed would come out again with a new life. That is the test for a successful yajna. When King Prithu was performing 100 yajnas, Indra became very envious because he did not want anyone to excel him. Being an ordinary living entity, he became envious of King Prithu, and making himself invisible, he stole the horse and thus impeded the yajna performance. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Madhakama Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Saji Sadaita Lavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, we usually think, yes, this was the ancient system. You could test the yajna that when a living animal could go in and come out rejuvenated. You see, then it is successful yajna. They would take an old cow, for example, and put the old cow in the fire and chant the mantras. And that old cow would come out with a rejuvenated calf body. So you may think, well, this applied to those yogis, but certainly that wouldn't apply to the Sankirtan. But actually it does. That is also the test of the Sankirtan yogi. If you can take a materially conditioned soul, put him into the Sankirtan yogi and come out with an enlightened, liberated person, you see, then you know the Sankirtan yogi was performed properly. So actually there's a simile there. We know the Sankirtan yogi is going on nicely. If the devotees are bright-faced, Prabhupada was very, very happy to explain like this, how formerly the devotees, they were all dark-faced, but now they are bright-faced. So this means the Sankirtan yoga is being performed very nicely. As Prabhupada said, we are turning the hippies into happies. Of course, now there's no hippies much left to turn into happy. But in those days, that was it. Prabhupada said, the hippies are our best customers. Every day, the hippies, you know, so many hippies would come to the, long-haired hippies would go to the temples and shave up. And next day, one day a hippie, the next day a brahmachari. Long-haired hippie, the shaved up brahmachari. So that is actually, if people are actually being, people who are in the modes of material nature are being drawn to the Sankirtan movement and coming out as bright-faced, tilaked, you know, enlivened devotees, that means the yogi is going on very nicely. That's one thing we can see here. Another lesson we can derive from this is that they wanted to cheat. When just prior to Buddhadev's appearance, they wanted to cheat. They say, yes, we are doing yajna. We are taking the animals and we are killing them in the sacrifice. And we will eat their flesh. And it is bona fide. The Brahmins did it in the Treta Yuga. It is bona fide. You just see in the scriptures how the Brahmins would kill the horses, they would kill the cow. So we will do the same thing. And this is Yajna Prasad. We will eat the Yajna Prasad. So in this way, the cheating is going on in the Kali Yuga, you see. So it is meant to be for the pleasure of God, but they want to take it for their pleasure. They take religion, but they take it in a cheating way. You see, this is the Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, half-hen logic. They take the idea of worshipping God, which is bona fide, but the other end, they want to go on with their sense gratification. They don't want to sacrifice their sense gratification. So the result is not very good. The result is not at all good. We see the modern day world civilization. So much chaotic condition is going on. Everywhere. One crisis after another crisis after another crisis. The oil crisis, and now it's the dollar crisis. Whole thing is going on artificially. The money has no value actually. Up until 1971, the US dollar was based on gold. You could trade your dollar in for gold from the US government. But now they won't give you anything, not even nothing. They won't give you anything for it. The whole world economy is going on the basis of having faith. I mean, they expect you to work very hard to get this valueless thing called paper money. work very hard day and night like an ass, and we'll give you some few pieces of paper. And the only reason we do it is because we're putting our faith that in the future other people will put faith in this valueless paper. Now what happens if people stop putting their faith in the valueless paper? What the government can do? It's really the goodwill of the people that's keeping the thing going. The people are saying, okay, we'll agree to put our faith in it, because we expect that other people will also put their faith in it. That's where they base the whole world economy on. Just see how shaky it is, the whole thing, the whole structure. You see? If people start to lose faith, then the whole thing becomes very shaky. And if the faith becomes zero, then the whole world civilization will collapse. The whole thing will completely collapse. Mere anarchy will be loosed upon the planet. So, instead of placing our faith in the future, placing the faith of other people, in the Vedic culture, the economy was based on the land and the cows. We've heard Prabhupada say so many times. When you base the economy on things that are real and are tangible, then you don't have to worry about faith. Other people, you don't have to depend on other people's faith for your economic survival, because you know it's real. You can use the land to grow food. You can derive milk products from the cow, and all sorts of transportation from the bull. Of course, it's not that we have to stop the industrial civilization to have a meaningful economy. Prabhupada said that if even we, by the performance of the Sankirtan Yagi, even the industrial enterprises will go on very successfully. So the world civilization doesn't have to be disruptive. It doesn't have to collapse. All we really have to do is bring back the Sankirtan Yagya, convince the people somehow or other to join the Sankirtan Yagya. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is performing the Sankirtan Yagya. So, if people will join in the activities of this society, then the whole planet can become very auspicious. But instead of wanting to do yagya, they just want the result of yagya without having to do the yagya. That's the problem. They're greedy. They want instant gratification. Give me now. Instant pleasure, you see. They can't control their senses. Go das. Civilization. Actually, that is a misnomer. You cannot say go das civilization. If it is go das, it is not civilization. The only actual civilization is a society of people who are Goswami. That is Vedic culture. That is only civilization. So somehow or other, the people must be induced to give up that instant gratification, preya, and take the satisfaction which comes in due course of time, shreya, because it is much greater satisfaction. You don't lose anything. People are foolishly attracted to the instant pleasure, you see. But an intelligent person, he knows, let me forgo the immediate pleasure and get some greater pleasure eventually. I remember when I was in high school, I was attending high school in Houston, Texas. And that place is hot and humid like anything. And it's a very air-conditioned city. In fact, they made the first air-conditioned baseball stadium there, indoor athletic field, air conditioned, first one in the world. So much into air conditioning. But when in the high, back in the days when I was a high school student there, they said, no, the students, they don't get air conditioning. So we were there in the sweltering humidity and the heat every day, especially in the, you know, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just unbearable in those classrooms. But we heard one of our fellow students, he decided to drop out of school, you see. And there was a long road out in front of the high school. And he would get his hot rod during fifth period physics class. We would hear him every day out there. He'd get his hot rod to go, room, 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 and he would tear down the street to show all of us that while you're in there, you know, suffering like anything in the fifth period, I'm out here enjoying like anything in my hot rod, you see. You know, he dropped out of school to work at a gas station to get his hot rod, you see. So, he's getting his preya, instant pleasure. But 20 years later, where is he working? Still working at the gas station. And all the students, yay, my. Shishi Radha, what are their names? Radha Gopinath, Shishi Radha Gopinath, Nitai Gaur Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. So 20 years later, he's out there still pumping gas at the gas station, and those the students who went through the austerities of fifth period physics class, or wherever it might have been, now they have college degrees, you know, they're well paid sitting in some air-conditioned office. So that's Shreya and Priya. He's getting Shreya, that instant pleasure. Ha, 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 there they are in fifth period class. I'm out here in my hot rod having a great time. But in the long run, those persons who did the austerities, they're getting much greater happiness. So Krishna consciousness is the latter of the two. You see. Sense gratification is getting out there and dropping out of school and getting out there in your hot rod to get some instant gratification. You know, accelerating that thing. Burning rubber, accelerating, etc. So Krishna consciousness, you have to be patient. You have to do austerities. You have to rise early in the morning, take bath. People don't like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They think it's, even though it's the godly hour, I don't know, in America there's a saying, ungodly hour, they call it. I remember when I was running a little preaching center in Norman, Oklahoma, years and years ago. I was out early one morning chanting my rounds, and my neighbor, he happened to be up for some reason. He said, "What are you doing up at such an ungodly hour?" He said, that's the saying of the Mletcher culture. They call it ungodly hour. Can you imagine? It confirms what Krishna says. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tas yam jagati sam yami yasyam jagati sam yam. What is it? Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tas yam jagati sam yami yasyam jagati bhutani sa nisha pasyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. This Bhagavad Gita is so wonderful because everywhere we go, we see this reality. It's practical reality. So there he was saying the godly hour was the ungodly hour. Just exactly what Krishna says about the material. They completely flip it around backwards, totally backwards. So, by taking shelter of guru, sadhus, and shastra, our spiritual master and the previous spiritual masters, all the way back to Krishna himself, by taking shelter of the spiritual masters, by taking shelter of the scriptures, and by taking shelter of the association of devotees, then we become solidly situated on the transcendental platform. is actually three numbers very significant here. For those of you who do, you know, try to really do professional quality photography, you carry tripods around. You know, there's also, you know the tripod makes a solid footing. It's steady. Now, two legs, the camera could fall over, or one, if it could fall over, you see. But if you have a tripod, then it's solid. It takes three legs to make it solid. So we have our tripod, Krishna consciousness tripod. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. If we are rooted in all three of these things, you see, we have taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. We have taken shelter of the bona fide scriptures, and we have taken shelter of the association of devotees. If we have these three things, then we are very, very solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. And then we can properly engage ourselves in the Sankirtan Yajna, and we can invite everyone to join with us. In this way, our lives will become very, very happy, and everyone who joins with us, their lives will also become very, very happy. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu?
I was making a comment on what you were saying about the I feel interested
in how they speak up on half deaf.
Oh, okay. How the Brahmins are twisting everything exactly.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That what we consider the ungodly hour and the and the evil of late at night when the mode of ignorance is prevalent. For us, that's ungodly, and then that's when they're really.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's very. That's such a wonderful verse. You can look at it from so many angles, and you know, it has so many ways of being practically applied. The early morning hours, that's the sattva-guna time, up until sunrise, and then after the sun comes up, then it becomes rajasic. And then when the sun goes down, it becomes tamasic. So they become. In the early morning, they're just like completely in the mode of ignorance. And somehow they pull themselves out of bed, they throw some coffee down their throat. You know, they hop on the train and they get cranked up in the mode of passion to get the work done. And then they come home at night, you know, get drunk, have some sex, watch some videos, you know, and you know, try to squeeze as much pleasure. It's like the Beatles song, it's been a hard day, the hard day's night. It's a graphic example. It's hard days and night. Work hard all day like a dog, and then you can feel all right when you finally get in home with your girlfriend, have some pleasure, you know, so-called pleasure. Yeah, it's completely reversed. They come alive at night. That's their so-called happiness. Nightlife, they call it. It's a big thing. What, you know, people want to know, what's the nightlife scene in this town? You know, where can I get the enjoyment? What's the nightlife here going on here? But for devotee, night is a time. Take rest as early as possible so you can get up very early and have wonderful, wonderful Brahma Muhurta time, spiritual time in the early morning hours, chanting, reading, singing, dancing, worshipping deities, worshipping Tulsi Devi. Such a sweet, sweet, sweet time. It's actually the early morning hours is like going to the holy dham. I mean, the whole place becomes, the whole atmosphere is like a holy dham in the early morning hours. So nice. So anything else? Yes. Speak up and.
From 12 till. Yeah, like 12 midnight until 2 a.m.
Yeah?
Is this in mode of ignorance?
There may be some technical, kind of subtle technical things. I'm just speaking practically. These are the tamasic times for the people. I know the nightclubs stay open way past midnight. Of course, for a devotee, I mean, Prabhupada will wake up at midnight. So for Prabhupada, after midnight was a very spiritual time, because he would wake up and do his translations starting at midnight. So you could say there's some overlap there depending on the consciousness of the person. A devotee, the more you're Krishna conscious, the more you actually become transcendental to the effects of these different times. So a devotee can be transcendentally situated at any time of the day, at 12 midnight, 10 o'clock. Depends on the situation. If there's some late night preaching going on, it's not like it's some fanatical thing. Oh, you know, it's the tamasic time. We can't preach now because it's tamasic time. No. When the preaching is going on, then that becomes completely transcendental, the modes of nature. So if some devotees, like Prabhupada was using the time from midnight to 2 for translating. So even in general, you could say, yes, it is tamasic time because the karmi, they are completely, you know, going in deep into ignorance. So generally, you could say yes, but a devotee, he can rise early at that time and utilize it. Or if there's some late night preaching program, that can also be transcendental. But if someone says, well, I have a lot of work to do, so I'm going to just wait till midnight to chant my rounds every day, and then I'll, you know, because I'm so busy, I'll wait till midnight to chant my rounds, and then, you know, I'll finish my rounds by 2, and then I'll sleep until, you know, 10 o'clock. That would be very tamasic way of doing it. Best thing is to chant one's rounds early. First thing upon rising, after, you know, take bath, chant your japa. Any other questions?
Maybe you can tell a little bit about your thoughts for the day when you started that. Maybe you can speak a little bit about this talk for the day which you put on the.
Oh. Yeah, I have some. He's asking about my internet preaching. I have a very popular e-zine, they call it, or e-newsletter that's called Thought for the Day. And keeps me very busy. Every day I have to write it. It goes out, right now we're up to 8,000, over 8,600 subscribers around the world. And every day people are joining from different, in over 100 different countries. So it's, we're getting very favorable reports. Some people who are new to, some people who are not in our movement have joined the movement because of reading it. Have many examples of people who've joined our movement after somehow finding it on the internet. And many people who are, especially people who live away from temples, who have no wonderful morning program like this to attend. They tell me they start their day by reading Thought for the Day. That's how they begin their day. That's their beginning every day. They get up and read it, and that gives them an inspiration to be Krishna conscious, because they're just out there in the material world working jobs and, you know, corporations where it's completely material atmosphere. Many of them, they get their email access at the office, so when they go to work, the first thing they do is read Thought for the Day. So yeah, it's a nice program that Prabhupada has blessed me with by his grace. And we keeps growing, and we're trying to speak very relevant things for the individual needs of our readers, how they can become Krishna conscious. And I try to address also the world situation, because we hope eventually to attract intelligentsia throughout the world as the world situation becomes more and more chaotic and the leaders don't know what to do, you know, I can attract more and more readers of that calendar. So I try to sometimes I actually give messages that are meant for the world leaders. Like today's thought for the day, we're talking about the valueless money and how Prabhupada said that this, if simply we follow this principle, bhoktaram jagatapasam, that the world will become peaceful and prosperous. So the economic leaders now are scrambling. They're talking about a $700 billion bailout of the devastated banking system in the U.S. But all they're doing is they're pumping more paper, valueless money into a system that's based on valueless money. So it's not really the solution. So in this way, I sometimes address the world problems in it, and hopefully that someday, there's an archive. It's all permanently posted on the internet. I've been doing it since 2003. So I've done a lot of thought for the day since then. Now for 5 years, 5 times 365, it's over 2,000 thought for the days I've written. And the most popular feature actually is the question and answers. I get tons of questions in the email every day. It keeps me super busy. I get so many emails to answer all the time from people all over the world. And some who are trying to practice Krishna consciousness usually. I get some heavy challengers also sometimes. Sometimes somebody just wrote me. They told me that Srila Prabhupada was God. Mayavadis. I had to explain to them, he's as good as God, but not that he's personally God. How he kicked out some sannyasis he banned some of our sannyasis from the ISKCON temples because they said that he was God one time. So I get all kinds of philosophical challenges. Atheists, Mayavadis, sense gratifiers, and mostly though people just begging for help. People who are trying to follow the principles and begging for guidance and mercy and blessings, how they can conquer their senses. That's probably the most popular thing. The people just wanting guidance on how to be Krishna conscious, living in the material society. So every day I'll post one sample from those questions and answers on Thought for the Day. And that's the most popular thing. Everyone tells me we like the questions and answers the best. We're actually going to publish a book. All the questions and answers will be published in the book on, it was divided by subject matter. That will be published. So yeah, it's keeping me very busy. That's what got me started traveling all over the world. We wanted to meet our different readers, and they were inviting me here and there in different parts of the world. So we headed out a few years ago, and now we're circling the globe twice a year. So it's been a nice project that Prabhupada has blessed me with. I had no idea this would happen. The original intent was to sell the Bhagavad Gita online, and nobody was taking it. We thought, well, if I offer them something for free, a newsletter, and then they'll buy the book. And it did happen that way. I started selling books after people got, started selling the books to the internet, even selling whole sets of the Bhagavatam to the internet. Once they got on and they saw that it was really nice information, and they trusted it, and they trusted me. I wasn't trying to rip them off. So yeah, it's been a very nice thing. Prabhupada's mercy. Any other question? Anybody who's interested, you just go to www.backtohome.com and you can get signed up. Thought for the day. Anything else?
Yeah.
Backtohome.com.
Actually, it was somebody who lived outside and practiced Krishna consciousness. Actually, I came in contact through somebody who lived out, and he said that was the first thing he looked for.
Every day, yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy when I hear that. So many people are feeling benefit. In the old days, I know that we had a godbrother who would sit in L.A., and all he would do was answer letters, because in all the books it would say, if you have any questions, write the secretary at 3764 Watsika Avenue. And his service was, and he actually, his letter writing actually helped many people. I just read recently that Giridhari Maharaj, one of our GBC gurus, he was cultivated by, he had got a book and he was writing I forget the devotee's name in Los Angeles. Do you remember his name? Yeah. He was writing the devotee in Los Angeles, and by those letters he got inspired and he became a devotee. So, yeah, it's been a nice service to be able to... I'm so happy when I hear of somebody like that is getting inspired. So if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole world, Ki Jai.